KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly cloudy. We have 35 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you this hour by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. The Iowa legislature's top two leaders have given the state's greyhound racing industry and the casinos in Council Bluffs and Dubuque something very close to an ultimatum. Strike a deal that will end dog racing and provide some kind of temporary payout to the dog owners. Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstahl is from Council Bluffs.
In the strongest possible ways, I have said to both sides of this discussion, it behooves you to find a resolution this year.
And House Speaker Craig Paulson, a Republican from Hiawatha, says that is absolutely his message as well.
We would like to see the interested parties, that is the greyhound breeders and racers and the casinos, work out a proposal and something to resolve this situation.
The Iowa Greyhound Association has injected a new idea into the negotiations this year, ending dog racing in Dubuque and Council Bluffs and then opening a new dog track, Racino, somewhere else. Senate President Pam Yoakum, a Democrat from Dubuque, calls that a new twist in the negotiations.
It's a little harder lift, I will say that. Some people view that as an expansion of gambling. And so it is certainly entered into the mix, but it is still part of the ongoing discussions between all of the parties.
Governor Branstad last week said the new dog track doesn't make any sense because greyhound racing is a dying industry. A bill that would end greyhound racing in Iowa and have casinos in Dubuque and Council Bluffs pay those who own and race the dogs $70 million is eligible for debate in a House committee, but leaders say they're waiting for the two sides to wrap up negotiations before debating the bill. News time is 8:02.
You're home most of the time just watching television, and you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway, so you don't need a hearing evaluation.
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
The Cass County Soil and Water Conservation District says they'll be hosting a cover crop meeting on Wednesday, March 12th at the Cass County Community Center. The meeting will start at 1 p.m. and run till 3:30. The doors open at 12:30 to the public. Bill Northey, Iowa's Secretary of Agriculture, will speak during Wednesday's meeting about Iowa's nutrient reduction strategy. Matt Lechtenberg from the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship Division of Soil Conservation will also present information about the Iowa water quality initiatives. And there will be a panel of local producers that will give their account of how they have incorporated cover crops to their own farming operations. Iowa Ag Secretary Bill Northey has said that he will be visiting Pottawatomie, Mills, Fremont, Page, Sac, Carroll, Audubon, and Cass counties from Monday through Wednesday of next week. On Monday, Northey will present the Gary Worgan Good Farm Neighbor Award in Oakland. He'll visit Mulholland Grocery in Malvern and tour the Green Plains Renewable Energy Facility in Shenandoah before speaking to an Iowa Corn Growers Association meeting in Shenandoah. On Tuesday, Northey will speak at a cover crop meeting in Sac City. He'll then tour a feedlot in Carroll and visit the John James Audubon Cultural Center in Audubon. And on Wednesday, he'll attend the Triumph of Ag Expo in Omaha before coming to speak at that cover crop event I just mentioned here in Atlantic. Northey, a corn and soybean farmer from Spirit Lake, is serving his second term as Secretary of Agriculture. Former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney is backing State Senator Joni Ernst in the crowded GOP primary for Iowa's open U.S. Senate seat. Romney calls the lawmaker from Red Oak a proven conservative with a great record. Ernst is among six Republicans running in the June 3rd primary. The others include radio host Sam Clovis, businessman Mark Jacobs, former U.S. Attorney Matt Whitaker, and lesser-known candidates Paul Lund and Scott Shaven. They're vying to run against U.S. Representative Bruce Braley of Waterloo, the only Democrat thus far running for the seat that's now held by Democrat Tom Harkin, who is not seeking a sixth term in November. Romney campaigned aggressively for Iowa in the 2012 election, but lost the state to President Obama. A U.S. senator is coming to Iowa to advocate for action on climate change. Democratic Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island has been a leader in efforts to combat climate change at the national level. He'll visit the state capitol on March the 18th to extend his efforts to Iowa. Democratic State Senator Robert Hoag of Cedar Rapids invited Whitehouse to Des Moines, saying that the climate change has been harmful to Iowa and that hearing Whitehouse's ideas would help the state. Whitehouse's previous environmental action efforts have included co-founding a task force on climate change, organizing educational events in Rhode Island, and delivering speeches on the topic on the Senate floor. His trip will include meetings with Iowa lawmakers and environmental activists. A Corps of Engineers official says the mountain snowpack on the Missouri River's upper basin is close to levels seen before the 2011 flooding on the river, but she says flooding this year is still far less likely. Jody Farhat with the Corps says drought in 2012 has resulted in a one-third increase in water storage capacity in the three Missouri River reservoirs in the Dakotas and Montana. And she says there is not as much snow accumulation on the plains as there was 3 years ago. South Dakota Governor Dennis Daugaard said that he still wants government officials and residents to be diligent about monitoring flood potential this year. He says in 2011, information on the river conditions came too late. Nearly three dozen plaintiffs from western Iowa are part of a lawsuit that was filed Wednesday against the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. The case concerns a recurring flooding along the Missouri River between 2006 and 2011. Edwin Smith is an attorney with the law firm of Pozzanelli PC, based in Kansas City, Missouri.
We're seeking to be compensated for the devastating losses that our clients, which number over 200 farmers and other landowners within the basin, that they have experienced as a result of this flooding.
33 Iowans are among the roughly 200 landowners, business owners, and farmers along the Missouri River who are seeking damages. The other plaintiffs are from Nebraska, Missouri, Kansas, and South Dakota. According to Smith, up until a decade ago, the Corps of Engineers prioritized flood control when managing operations of dams, reservoirs, and other structures along the river. Smith claims those priorities changed in 2004, which led to severe and frequent flooding.
The United States Army Corps of Engineers has changed its policies and procedures, sacrificing our clients' interest in order to promote the interest of fish and wildlife and other environmental interest.
The lawsuit contends the Corps violated the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution.
And it's the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution that ensures each and every one of us that Congress, the U.S. government, cannot take our private property for the good of the public unless they give us just compensation.
The lawsuit alleges the Corps increased water storage levels and altered the schedule for water release from six large reservoirs. It also claims the Corps changed the structure of dikes and dams along the river to scour the banks and make the river shallower and created secondary channels that increase the frequency and duration of floods. And members of the Iowa Supreme Court will visit area high schools in southwest Iowa to meet with students and discuss the role of the courts. On next Wednesday, March the 12th, the justices will visit the Clarinda High School, Shenandoah High School, Red Oak High School, Atlantic High School, and Southwest Valley High School in Corning. In addition, the High Court in Iowa will hold a special session in Clarinda next Tuesday evening. During that session, they'll hear oral arguments in two cases in the Clarinda High School auditorium. The session begins at 7 o'clock, and the oral arguments are open to the public. A reception with the justices, sponsored by the Clarinda Chamber of Commerce, will follow the oral arguments in the high school commons. And you can find out the schedule of those high court justices on our webpage at KJAN.com under the news tab. Just look for this same story. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, today's unemployment report could renew hopes that economic growth will accelerate this year. The government says hiring improved in February from the previous 2 months despite a blast of wintry weather. Employers added 175,000 jobs last month, up from just 129,000 in January. The unemployment rate rose to 6.7% from a five-year low of 6.6%. And Detroit's outdoor art installation called the Heidelberg Project has now been the target of at least 9 suspicious fires. A local television station reports the latest blaze happened this morning and it destroyed a building known as the Dollhouse. No injuries were reported. There have been no arrests in any of the fires that started in May of 2013. The Heidelberg Project was founded in 1986 on Detroit's East Side as a response to urban decay. And that's quite a fortune cookie. 75-year-old Emma Duvall of New York picked up her $2 million prize yesterday for the February 1st Powerball drawing. The retired Bronx resident played the number she found in a fortune cookie. She said she'd gotten after dining at a Chinese restaurant in Greenwich Village. Duvall said she plans to invest her winnings and may splurge on a trip to Switzerland to see her relatives. News time is 8:10.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
What?
I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. Even though there are many ways to politely tell someone you didn't hear them, not being able to understand what people are saying to you is frustrating for everyone. Because hearing loss happens gradually, many times you and those around you develop coping behaviors to keep the communication flowing. Speaking louder, lip reading, and eventually the frequent request to repeat. But because those behaviors don't address the real source of frustration, your hearing loss, it can become a hearing problem for everyone involved. The best way to avoid the frustration is to recognize the real culprit and to take action. A hearing evaluation is the first step. Even if what you're experiencing is a very mild hearing loss and hearing aids are not needed, knowing what's going on allows you to stay on top of your hearing loss. No one wants a conversation that revolves around,
excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In our funeral announcements, Courtney Johnston, age 27 of Dexter and formerly of Greenfield, died February 28th in Des Moines. Funeral services for Courtney Johnston will be this morning at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Christine Madsen, age 88 of Earlham, died Monday. Funeral services for Christine Madsen will be today at 11 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham. Audrey Carroll, age 87 of Avoca, died Tuesday in Omaha. Funeral services for Audrey Carroll will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Dorothy Putnam, age 87, of Oakland, has died. Funeral services for Dorothy Putnam will be held Saturday at 1:30 at the Reconvieth Funeral Home in Oakland. Also in our news this morning, the funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN. Kate Marie Griffith of Audubon, the infant daughter of Andy and Heather Griffith, died Tuesday in Omaha. Funeral services for Kate Marie Griffith will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. Gail Bald, age 74 of Audubon, died Thursday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Gail Bald will be Sunday at 2 o'clock at St. John's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Kenneth Hinson, age 88 of Atlantic, died March the 1st in Omaha. Memorial services for Kenneth Hinson will be Sunday at 4 o'clock at the First Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Mary Hewitt, age 86 of Panora, died Wednesday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Mary Hewitt will be Monday at 10:30 at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Our news was brought to you this morning by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Henson reporting.